My case came to trial and special sessions. I drew a 4-month suspended sentence. After I gave up lush working, I decided to push junk. There isn't much money in it. About all a using street peddler can expect to do is keep up his habit. But at least when you are pushing, you have a good supply of junk on hand, and that gives a feeling of security. Of course, some people do make money pushing. I knew an Irish pusher who started out capping a 1/16-ounce envelope of H, and 2 years later, when he took a fall and went away for 3 years, he had $30,000 and an apartment building in Brooklyn. If you want to push, the first step is to find a wholesale connection. I did not have a connection, so I formed a partnership with Bill Gaines, who had a pretty fair Italian connection on the Lower East Side. We bought the stuff for $90 per quarter ounce, cut it 1/3 with milk sugar, and put it in 1-grain caps. The caps sold for $2 each, retail. They ran about 10-16% H, which is very high for retail capped stuff. There should be at least 100 caps and 1/4 ounce of H before it is cut. But if the wholesaler is Italian, he is almost sure to give a short count. We usually got about 80 caps out of these Italian quarter ounces. Bill Gaines came from a good family. As I recall, his father had been a bank president somewhere in Maryland, and he had front. Gaines' routine was stealing overcoats out of restaurants, and he was perfectly adapted to this work. The American upper-middle-class citizen is a composite of negatives. He is largely delineated by what he is not. Gaines went further. He was not merely negative, he was positively invisible, a vague, respectable presence. There is a certain kind of ghost that can only materialize with the aid of a sheet or other piece of cloth to give it outline. Gaines was like that. He materialized in someone else's overcoat. Gaines had a malicious, childlike smile that formed a shocking contrast to his eyes, which were pale blue, lifeless and old. He smiled, listening down into himself, as if attending to something there that pleased him. Sometimes, after a shot, he would smile and listen, and say slyly, "This stuff is powerful." With the same smile, he would report on the deterioration and misfortunes of others. Herman was a beautiful kid when he first came to New York. The trouble is, he lost his looks. Gaines was one of the very few junkies who really took a special pleasure in seeing non-users get a habit. Many junkie pushers are glad to see a new addict for economic reasons. If you have a commodity, you naturally want customers, provided they are the right kind. But Gaines liked to invite young kids up to his room and give them a shot, usually compounded of old cottons, and then watch the effects, smiling his little smile. Mostly, the kid said it was a good kick, and that was all. Just another kick, like Nemby's, or Benny's, or Lush, or Weed. But a few stayed around to get hooked, and Gaines would look at these converts and smile, a prelate of junk. A little later, you would hear him say, "Really, so-and-so must realize that I can't carry him any longer." The pledge was no longer being rushed. It was time for him to pay off, and pay off for the rest of his life, waiting on street corners and in cafeterias for the connection, the mediator between man and junk. Gaines was a mere parish priest in the hierarchy of junk. He would speak of the higher-ups in a voice of sepulchral awe. "The connections say." His veins were mostly gone, retreated back to the bone to escape the probing needle. For a while he used arteries, which are deeper than veins and harder to hit, and for this procedure he bought special long needles. He rotated from his arms and hands to the veins of his feet. A vein will come back in time. Even so, he had to shoot in the skin about half the time. But he only gave up and skinned a shot after an agonizing half hour of probing and poking and cleaning out the needle, which would stop up with blood.